How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And we're live. Welcome everybody to this live episode, back-to-back nights. I am finishing the season as strong as I possibly can. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm host of the Locked On Lakers podcast. You can find that on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Last night I went live to, you know, talk about the game that they played last night. They wound up winning a pretty entertaining game. They wind up losing tonight in kind of a snooze fest, but that's kind of what you're going to see when the Lakers play against the Golden State Warriors and the Warriors play everybody. The Lakers finished this year at 26-56. I would say they met most people's expectations. I think that's probably how I would put it for this year. I know for me personally, I had them, I think it was at 27 wins, I think is what I had them at. I might have to double check that. I might have had them at 33. For some reason, 33 is sticking out to me as a number. But if it is, or 26 wins means they improved 9 games this year, that's an okay gradual improvement that you'd kind of like to see from these guys. Hopefully next year the incline at which they improve gets a little bit less gradual. You'll see a little bit more improvement next year, but it all depends on this offseason. But let's go ahead and I'm just going to go straight into answering questions. Let's go ahead and see. Hunter Brown, I know they lost tonight, but I'm worried about the first round picks they're going to lose. So we went over this last night. Basically, with the way tonight played out, because the Suns lost last night, tonight's game didn't mean anything for the tank. And I kind of spoke at length last night about, you know, let's just enjoy this game. It's the first time in a while that we get to enjoy it. There's no pressure that comes with playoffs. There's no pressure that comes with losing picks. It's just, let's just go out there and watch these Lakers play. There were, I think, the closest they got in this game, other than at the start, was that they closed within, I'd say, 12, 13 points. But you kind of saw stuff from everybody that you hope to see moving forward just more consistently, right? Larry Nance Jr. was making the kind of energy plays that you want to see from him after kind of floating in the second half. You saw Brandon Ingram, you know, he's going up against Kevin Durant. And that's a pretty tough matchup for him because Durant is basically, like, you know how Pokemon evolve? Like, Durant is just the supreme evolved version of Brandon Ingram. So that's kind of what you saw take place there. But even still, you saw some flashes of what you would like to see. D'Angelo Russell did not play tonight. He is still dealing with the loss of his grandma, as he should. Get well, or I hope all is well out there for you, D'Angelo. You keep on going down the line. Randall was you know, it was kind of a quieter night for him. But even he, you know, again, it's just about the flashes that you're looking to see from these guys right now. And then you build on seeing more and more of those flashes. Let's see if I can get to another couple of your questions. Hunter asked me if I'm worried about the draft picks. So they can lose one draft pick on lottery night. They have one draft pick for sure because of the Lou Williams trade. They're going to get Houston. I think right now it's at 27 or so. They're going to get Houston's first rounder this year. So aside from that, I can't get myself to care, really. Like, I'm so exhausted from covering this year and from the last few years and the mud that they kind of make us trudge through over the extent. I was joking with somebody, I forget who it was, but I basically said that, you know, I picked literally the worst time to start covering this team. I think I covered them 3 years ago, and that was right when the tanking thing started taking hold. So it'll be nice moving forward in the next couple of years to cover a little bit better of a team. But in terms of the pick, the reason I'm talking about this is I'm just so tired from this season that I haven't really put the draft pick into perspective quite yet. It's greatly important. It's hugely vital for the continued growth of the organization. But for right now, it's just about taking inventory on what we saw this year, trying to figure out, all right, who's worth sticking around, who's worth extending, who from other teams might be a better fit than somebody that the Lakers might currently have. And then most important over anything is to put everything into perspective and just say, look, yes, it's been a tough, you know, few years that the Lakers have put their fans through. But with all that said, they have treated us pretty well over the years. And because of that, I trust this organization moving forward. I'm wearing blue, or no, I'm colorblind. I'm wearing purple to you know, just kind of represent. Like, these are still the Lakers. They're still going to be okay. And we'll see how that moves forward. Let's get to a couple more of your picks. Oop, I'll do this with my left hand. Adrian Arrieta asks, who do you think is staying and who do you think is leaving the Lakers? Well, I think Meta World Peace is probably going to retire. I think tonight was the last game that we're going to see from Meta. He hilariously, I don't know, for those of you who watched the very end of the game, he stole the ball and got himself a couple extra free throws. I think he wanted to make that moment last a little bit longer. But it works perfectly for Meta too that he would do that, because he only played at one speed. He worked hard all the time, and for him to go out, you know, and on stealing a ball late in garbage time to get himself a couple more free throws, that's Meta through and through. Other guys that I don't think will be around next year, I don't think Ennis will be around next year. Nwaba will, you know, he'll be there for summer league, but he'll have his work cut out for him to see if he can make the roster as the Lakers try to continue to improve. As far as the kids go, because I think, Adrian, that's who you are most interested in hearing about, I it's hard for me to see the Lakers trading any of them right now. Unless, you know, the Pacers come to the Lakers and say, hey, Paul George has demanded a trade. We only want one of your cornerstone guys, one of either Russell and Ingram and a first-round pick, not even the lottery one, just those guys, just some kind of crazy offer that you can't refuse. That kind of deal comes along, you have to make that deal. But Larry Bird is too stubborn to make that kind of deal. I think you'll see a lot of the same guys next year, and you'll see a team, especially if they lose their pick, it doesn't make much sense for them to try to improve, because next year they get to keep their pick completely unprotected. So I don't know if we'll see outright tanking, but I do think they're going to just kind of rely really heavily on the kids, let them grow, try to figure out what the absolute best role is for those guys, and play that season out as it goes. If they keep their pick, then, you know, maybe there's a chance we get to watch Alonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell backcourt. Maybe there's a chance we get to see Josh Jackson and Brandon Ingram on the wings. Maybe there's a chance you'll see a Markel Fultz and D'Angelo Russell backcourt. All of those things are really exciting. So you know, while this season, you know, had its ups and downs or whatever, I do continue to believe that the Lakers are going in the right direction. Jamal Robbins, if we lose the lottery pick, what's the best move with the Houston pick? you take somebody and you hope you get somebody who completely outperforms their draft status. If you try to trade that pick, now if they could somehow combine that pick and a Deng or a Mozgov contract and get some financial flexibility, then you do that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But if, you know, as it plays out right now, you draft somebody, the Lakers have done really well in drafting later in the draft. You see what they can find there. And again, if they lose their pick this year, they keep it next year unprotected. And then in 2019, they lose their pick again. So you want to continue to get as much high lottery talent as you can moving forward and then try to continue to improve incrementally. Walter Collins, for us to have the second worst record, we would have had to lose more than one game if I knew we were going to 5 or 6. Okay, yeah. So Walter kind of puts it into perspective here. Had we known that the Lakers were going to finish on a 5 of 6 kind of run, then we wouldn't have complained about every single loss or every single loss win along the way. And that's where the perspective is important here. Is you try to understand what's best for the team, obviously. But at the end of the day, we're all fans, right? Like, what it really comes down to is none of us, for the most part, are going to be able to affect the Lakers' intentions moving forward. So we're kind of along for the ride anyway. You may as well enjoy the ride. Let's go ahead. We'll go Sun T. What about next season? What I'm guessing this is about what how many wins I would predict for them next season. 35 wins would put them at a 9-win improvement. I think that's fair to assume. Anywhere between 30 and 35 wins would be okay for me. And again, it all depends. Like, I'm looking at the roster as it currently stands. If the Lakers trade for Paul George and they wind up with only 35 wins, then it's time to kind of worry, right? But if they go into next year and you handle, you know, the offseason, you maybe keep your pick and you keep the core intact and it's still the kids, another 9-win improvement is pretty nice. So you can kind of take that one. Harry Baltazar Jr. asks, that 5-game win streak might have already torpedoed next season. I mean, I just talked about that a second. So, Ryan Calvillo, how often can we expect podcasts from you this offseason? Thank you for asking. So, again, I do host the Locked On Lakers podcast. I host that with Harrison, and then we bring on guests. We actually already might have a really exciting guest for you guys lined up for next week. But we're going to be recording every three or four times a week. Right now, it's a 5-day-a-week thing. We're going to take that back to about 3 or 4 times a week. But the big thing is we want to remain part of your guys' habit. So long as you guys care about the Lakers, we hope you guys continue to care about the show. Wayne, I've been a big D'Lo critic, but he's shown maturity to go along with his skills. I hope they keep the core for now. Looks good. I tweeted out earlier, I'm at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. I tweeted out the stats that he finished with. He basically finished with 15-5 per game, which equates to 19 and about 6.5 or so per game, 19.6 assists per 36 minutes if he got 36 minutes a game. Considering where he was at last year, improving your numbers without a big uptick in minutes while juggling different roles is a pretty good year for D'Angelo Russell. You hope he continues to get better, but I do think he will continue to get better. And at the very least, he's shown enough improvement and enough maturity this year that teams around the league are going to look at him and say, he's somebody that, you know, if we are looking to rebuild, we could do that not necessarily around him. He's not like a Karl Anthony Towns kind of talent where you build around somebody, but you can certainly build with him. And I think that's what the Lakers are intent upon doing right now. Mark Carrillo thanks me for all the great reporting. Hey, thank you for paying attention. We could not possibly do this stuff without you. All the support. Otherwise, I'm just talking into my microphone like some kind of weirdo. It makes no sense to write and talk as much as I do and tweet as much as I do without your guys' support. So I greatly appreciate all of that. And on that note, I'm going to wrap this one up. Actually, right after this, we are going to go to a quick break. And like I've said a couple times, this show goes up onto iTunes. I'm actually going to talk to Harrison. He's gonna jump on the second half of this podcast.
All right, we are now joined after that Facebook Live session, that solo pod that I just wrapped up over there at Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook page. Make sure you guys are following there on Facebook. All of the content that we put up on the site, all of our podcasts, all that can be found there. Drew Garrison puts up some pretty cool videos there that you guys are going to want to check.
Yeah, hold off on pretty cool. Amazing videos.
Okay. I guess I'm in the business of underselling and outperforming.
I usually am too, but Drew's videos have been just incredible.
Yeah, no, he does great work there. So you guys make sure you're following all of that stuff. I just finished wrapping up there. I might do another Facebook Live to kind of summarize all of the exit interviews tomorrow after they end. We'll see. I was just talking to Harrison before we went live about how I feel like I've been talking for a year. like I just feel like I've been talking nonstop and my throat is just like, oh, dude, shut up already. Like, that's enough.
Yeah, I can confirm that he's had multiple coughing fits over the last little bit.
Yeah,
I'm starting to get a little worried about my internet dad.
It's one thing when I get told to shut up by like other people, but when my own throat, like I can hear it coming out of my own throat and it's like, dude, shut up. Like that's
your own throat is trying to do us a favor.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but now, I mean, on that topic, mm-hmm. we're done with the season now, basically. So when we were talking about like, what the hell are we going to talk about for this show before the show? I said, we should just exit interview each other.
And that I'm was not your idea.
Credit for that idea. It was 100% me.
You're such a dick. No, that was my idea.
Hey, now let's watch the language. I'm gonna all have right. to bleep that. Take You're a timestamp.
Such a Richard Nixon.
Thanks. Oh, that's what you meant. Okay, I don't have to bleep it. You were
that's what I meant. Get your mind out of the gunner. No, so basically, yeah, Harrison mentioned something about exit interviews, and they're tomorrow. Starting bright and early at 9, I'll be live tweeting those at Silver Screen and Roll.
That is not 100% confirmed yet. They're starting bright and early.
Killing me. Okay, well, when they start, I will be on Silver Screen and Roll's Twitter account tweeting that out, getting you the quotes while Harrison blogs, and then we might alternate it or whatever. But when Harrison mentioned exit interviews, I thought, hey, let's have a little bit of fun with this. It's the last game of the season. It was a long one. Everybody stuck with us through this. Let's go ahead and give each other exit interviews. So I already analyzed the game, and we'll do the grading stuff. Like, there's plenty of time to do that as the Lakers are not participating in the playoffs this year again. So this year, we're gonna switch this up a little bit. We're going to exit interview each other. We already wrote down questions. We did not tell each other what those questions would be.
No, we never like to prepare each other.
Never. So I will start, and I'm going to go with – I know this question is really rare in the exit interview process, but Harrison, what did you think you did best this year?
Me personally?
Sure. On the show, personally, whatever.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and brag about myself. I think I wrote a lot. That was probably my best quality this year. You know, I really tried to go out there 110% execute the game plan of producing content. I think actually I have to call it hashtag content. But uh-huh. Yes, that was my main goal this year.
Are you sure about that being like actually good enough to shout out?
I mean, I think that was my best work. Other than, I guess if we count Summer League, then it's taking that vine of you doing that Euro stumble. And honestly, like the thing that I'm most proud of was when we showed that to Josh Majette on that podcast, and he looked like he had just seen the saddest cut together home highlight video of all time. And that was probably my favorite moment on the pod this year, other than maybe our interview with Larry Nance Jr., which was a lot of fun as well.
Dude, it's pretty hard for me to feel like embarrassment or shame or whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah, you were blushing. When Josh saw that video, like, this is an audio format, so you can't see, but Anthony looked like he was about to pass out.
Yeah, I had to, like, gather myself a bit. Like, that's the better answer. That whole Euro thing, and then whoever it was who turned that into that old, like, with the piano in the background, where amazing happens, like...
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. All right. You're
okay, I have a question for you now, and it sounds like we may have taken different directions on the questions, but what would you say, excuse me, surprised you most about this season?
Honestly, the reception of the show. Like, we did this show last year, and we averaged, we'll just say, we just averaged way, like, the audience just grew in ways that I did not see it growing this year. The other thing that surprised me this year was the fact that I realize I can actually feel shame. Like, I didn't think that was capable. Like, once you get fat enough, like, to everybody listening out there, if there's anybody out there who's let themselves go, like, this is why dads are really good at embarrassing their kids, because they are incapable of getting embarrassed and or feeling shame. And I thought I had reached dad bod to the level that, like, I was incapable.
Oh my God.
I was incapable of feeling shame. And then you showed that video to Majette, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot what this feels like.
I really thought he was going to let you go try out on the court after that, but I guess he was kidding.
It was best for everybody involved that he did not. All right, Mike, my next question for you, what do you think you need? I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, the most original questions that I possibly can, because all you see in these exit interviews is originality, really. So what do you think you need to work on most moving forward?
You know, I'm not really sure. I probably need to find a co-host that's willing to talk with me about the Lakers, you know, I would say is one thing. Since you apparently just want me to give away all my trade secrets. But I think what I need to work on most, honestly, is probably just, like, managing my workload a little bit better, which I think that I'm starting to find some solutions on. So that's probably the main thing for me.
I was expecting an answer like, you know, a scroll, because you're like insanely honest with yourself. I thought you were just going to give just like the longest answer of all time and we'd have to do some crazy editing.
No, I mean, I hate myself a lot of the time, but we don't need to get into that on the podcast.
All right. What's your next question?
Okay. So which Laker did you most enjoy watching this season?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, like, not who was best, but, like, who did you most enjoy watching? Like, consistently got you excited to watch games?
I'd probably say Russell. I would just, I mean, because I used to be a point guard, so watching somebody, you were actually watching somebody learn the trade as they're moving forward, right? And it's really cool to watch that progress and see his reads get more complex, and you see his ability to understand what to do defensively get better as the season goes along. His confidence out there got better. That to me was really cool to watch. Like, he's probably the most fun and charismatic Laker out there, which helps as well. But just the minutia of watching somebody get better as a point guard is really fun to watch. And that's why, like, I would kind of understand if they moved him, because, you know, they kind of want to move on from being, you know, in the lottery and caring about the lottery and not in the playoffs. Like, I would understand it if that was the direction that this new front office went in. But I would definitely be pretty bummed, because he seems like somebody who's about to take off. As you kind of saw,
he has the most potential to me still.
Yeah, like, his
second half. And I just, like, I was listening to the Laker Film Room pod the other day, and Coach Pete, I think, said it best. Like, you don't start the rebuild by moving the best of the young players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't see how that helps.
I would agree. I'm going to go ahead and turn that on. I'm going to turn this question back on you.
Who did I most enjoy watching this season?
Be honest. I already know what the answer is.
You know, like, it definitely – it wasn't Russell. I still think he's going to be the best, but it wasn't Russell. I'd say
– come on. Just say it.
I think maybe Nance.
Oh, come on. It's Zubats. Just like it has to be Zubats for you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Zubats. I don't know how I forgot Ivica. Yeah, it was definitely Zubats. I'm, like, blanking because he didn't play the last 10 games. But, yeah, it was definitely Zubats. Zubats, like, to me, it's just, like, this – he just has this pure joy almost about the way that he goes out there and plays and is, like, discovering new things for the first time and – you know, like, just watching him on the court, honestly, like, watching him on social media over this season has been amazing. Today he was asking Laker fans for Netflix recommendations and got into a mini Twitter argument with the Lakers trainer about asking that he said you should try weightlifting. And he said, and Ivica responded, is that on Netflix? So Tim DeFrancesco is trying to get Zubats to weightlift and chill, I guess.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Man, I guess all gym rats are that person, right? Who they kind of say, like, anything.
I mean, I'm
sure
it was
a jest.
I think he understands that Zubats cannot wait. He's not one of those fans that's, like, actually just get in the gym.
Yeah. But, no, I think all, like, gym fanatics, that's kind of their thing.
And then, like, if I had to pick, like, one more. It would probably – that was going to be my honorable mention when I picked Larry. It was probably – my other one would be Nwaba and just watching how he grew from this guy that, like, on Defenders Media Day, people were – all the players, all the coaches universally were like, this guy's really impressed us. And I was like, okay, are they just trying to kind of pump up the undrafted rookie? You know, and going – for him to go from – like, coming off the bench for the Defenders as a tryout player to, like, you know, I remember the first time I interviewed him and he still didn't seem totally used to all that stuff to, like, now he's playing, like, 30 minutes a night for the Lakers within the span of one season. I mean, that's just a really fun story.
Yeah, no, that's a fun one. I was also going to add Randall to that just because especially early in the year when he was getting all those assists by just getting the ball out in transition and dribbling into people to then hand it off to a shooter. he got so much joy from doing that I thoroughly enjoyed that. Is it my turn to ask a question?
No. Yeah. Well, you flipped my question back on me.
Okay. But all right, yeah, you go ahead then.
Did I go again?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the worst moment for you this season?
Ooh, the worst moment.
I mostly mean with the Lakers, like, what was the hardest thing to watch? But I guess you could go personal since that seems to be the direction you're going.
Well, the Lakers' worst moment to me, I think it was that night that I sent out, like, that's it, trade everybody. I think they got blown. They got just worked over by the Celtics this year, right? Like, at home.
I don't remember you sending this tweet, but it actually doesn't shock me.
But they got worked over by somebody at home, and after the game, for like the fifth time in a row, Russell said something along the lines of, like, you know, we just didn't show up and we just didn't do this and whatever. And I said, like, if you aren't going to get up for this game, whatever it might be, then what exactly are you going to get up for? Right. And after I kind of regret sending the tweet because there was a chemical enhancement that was involved in sending that tweet.
Wonderful.
Stream. but yeah, it was that to me was like that low point that you kind of look back on and you say, man, like what are the Lakers actually doing with this young core? Because it looked pretty bad there for a while, like in the middle of the season.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my next question. There's been talk of some personnel moves here on the show. your thoughts, your thoughts on that, and your how stable or how secure do you feel on the Locked On Lakers podcast?
You know, you always hear these rumors on social media and you hear this stuff, but I just don't know that those people. I don't think they're inside the chat room, and uh-huh. I don't know that they have the best sourcing on this type of stuff. And so, you know, you have to go out there and podcast and go out there and edit and give it your best. And there's a bank in every city.
I mean, I don't think, based on how we get paid, right? Like, we don't even need a bank in every city. You can.
That's true. It's all electronic.
I'm giving you these thoughts just so that, like, if, you know, the newly elected governor of the podcast does make an executive decision, just, you know, just know you're going to be okay, kid.
Yeah, hey, no, you just use that talk as motivation. It's always good to be known that you're wanted elsewhere.
Absolutely. All right, your next question.
What's the funniest thing that you remember from this year?
The funniest thing that I remember.
Either show or Lakers or whatever.
I would probably... No, all right. Here's my actual funniest thing. This was... we weren't supposed to, like, share all kinds of details about our trip there to... Sportsnet that, like, they wanted off record, but this
is a wonderful qualifier.
No, this is something that they'll actually really enjoy. Everybody over there will really laugh about it. But so we show up, we walk into the offices that they have there, and I think James Worthy had just been told before we were walking in that we were going to do a podcast with him, and I'm not actually sure if he knows what a podcast is.
Oh my god.
So like, we walk in, and he might know now or whatever, but, like, it wouldn't shock me at all. Like, my dad doesn't know what a podcast is. There's no way. So we walk in, and he sees us, and the people who were kind of guiding us through the offices there kind of says, like, all right, James, you're going to come over here, and they're going to talk to you here for a bit. And he just screams down the hall at us, podcast.
I remember, and then he yelled it the rest of the night.
Yeah, like that. We weren't like Harrison and or Anthony or whatever. Like the
you
first
were podcast. We weren't Locked On Lakers. We were podcast.
Yeah, like the night, you know, a year before this, we were all bloggers, you know, or Laker Nation, whatever it was, because he thought we were all from the same like entity. But this time it was just he just screamed out all at us, and like when we walked onto their set. You know, right before they were going to go live, he just screamed out. Or no, I think he actually said it while they were recording. He just screams out randomly, podcast. It was pretty incredible. And I'm sitting there pinching myself the whole time because this is James effing Worthy, you know?
Yeah, James is the best. He gave me a fist bump the other night at the game, and like it pretty much made my night.
Yeah, I would hope so. And then, like, you know, when he shakes your hand, like that whole experience was really cool, and it was cool a year ago too. But when guys like that, when pro basketball players, because I don't think people quite realize how big all of them are, but anytime they shake your hand, like they're tickling your elbow basically because their hands are so big. So that he's just so larger than life, and it was hilarious that he's just screaming podcast at us.
Yeah, James is the best.
Yeah. All right. What was I want to ask you the same question because. You ask these questions with something in mind, so.
No, I mean, for me, the funniest moment of the season, I mean, the Clarkson quote from the other night, Meta was shaking his leg like a stripper, was hilarious. And then there was, I'm trying to remember what was, I'm trying to remember something that was really random. Okay, so actually this might have been one of the funniest things I saw this season was, it actually, I don't know if everybody read my Brandon Ingram piece from like a week or two ago, but this was in the lead, and Jordan Clarkson, but I didn't include like all these details because it's just like, it's a written format, you only have so much space, but so Jordan Clarkson, I was talking with David Nwaba just about how he's adjusting to the Lakers, all this stuff. This was before they played the Bucks in like March or something, and Jordan Clarkson comes over with his sweatshirt hood up, his shirt underneath the sweatshirt pulled over his mouth, so he looks like he's like ready to rob somebody. And it turns out he kind of was. And he walks over to Dave. He goes, yo, Nwaba. He's like, you got headphones? And David, he looks in his locker and he's like, no. You know, he did like he almost was ready with like the vet move thing and was like, no. And so Clarkson, like, of course, like turns and he looks at Ingram. And Ingram always has these big red, like, I think they're Beats headphones. And he goes, B.I., you got headphones? And Brandon Ingram, he answers yes, and then you see the realization on his face of what he just answered yes to. and that he's about to lose his headphones. And Jordan Clarkson goes, like, give them to me. And so Ingram, you know, he's a rookie. He has to do this. And so he gives Clarkson the headphones, and he just shakes his head, and he's looking at Zubats, who's also shaking his head, and he just goes, 14 more games, man.
Oh, man. We all knew how you felt. Ingram. All right, I'm out of
questions.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he was just ready to not be a rookie anymore. I don't think it was like, I need to be done with this season. It was like, I'm ready to not have to give Clarkson my headphones whenever he asks.
Yeah, no, I would agree, but it wouldn't shock me at all if he was just like, you know what, I wouldn't mind being done with this year. I'd like to
I get just didn't want to imply anything that I don't know, so.
Yeah. Well, all right, anywho, do you have any more questions left?
I had one more, and so we're going to end this on kind of a serious note.
All right.
Why do you love me so much?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. What's the player that you want to see, that you would least want to see leave?
Well, I talked about Russell a little bit ago, but
yeah, I guess.
But if it really came down to it, it's probably Ingram. And it's because, like, I have this hard and fast theory at this point. It's one of the things that I probably believe the
Let me see if I can guess it. You don't trade a guy right after his rookie season.
No. It's about positions in the NBA. I think the small forward position in the NBA is the most important position out there, because if you look at the direction that offense is going in, you want somebody who shoots the corner three, and you want somebody who shoots the layup, you want somebody who can defend multiple positions. And if you find somebody who can do all of those things at an elite level, or a couple of those things at an elite level, you look across the NBA, and the teams that have legitimate shots at winning titles tend to have pretty good small forwards, right? And so for Ingram, he's so young, and his game is going to get so much better as soon as he gets a little bit stronger, that it just seems it would make no sense to trade this guy when there's such an obvious way for him to get better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his stock is in my opinion, it's at the lowest it's ever going to be right now.
Yeah.
Because of his early season struggles, even though he came on down the stretch, I just don't think that's like a league-wide thing where they're like, Brandon Ingram is for sure the guy from the last 15 games. And I think they probably want to see a little more. Like, I definitely think he's going to be way better next year.
Yeah. I mean, there's no rush.
Like, he showed so much promise coming down the stretch the last 15 games.
There's no rush in trading the guy either.
No.
Right?
Not like at all.
He
could play with George, even if you want to get Paul George. Like, the Ingram could play with him.
Well, I would be annoyed if they moved him in the offseason for that very reason. That, like, there's no rush in trading this guy this offseason. Like, I actually think this offseason is going to be pretty quiet.
Yeah. I think it's going to be quieter than people expect.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe, you know, maybe because of the new front office, they come in and they really look to shake some things up. But for the most part, I think...
Although,
you know,
actually, I kind of think that if they keep the pick, it has a better chance to be louder.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they have more assets.
I think if they keep the pick, it's going to be louder, like significantly louder than if they lose it. Because that's an extra asset, and they may feel like they have a little bit of extra cash in their pocket, like, so to speak.
I'm going to add to that answer with, like, an honorable mention and say Jesse Mermes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the summer league to get to, like, talk to this guy and hear his takes on the Lakers. Like, it's that he's.
Yeah. I really hope Luke makes him the coach again.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a way we could get him on the podcast, because I don't know if enough people know what he sounds like.
You guys got to all tweet at, find his Twitter account and tweet at him. Tell him Locked On Lakers.
Yeah. All right. Who's your guy that you wouldn't want to? I would imagine it's between. How about aside from Ingram or Russell? Because that was the question. That was basically the answer that everybody gave. So, but aside from those guys, who would you like to see go the least?
I mean, it's probably Zubats. Like, he's the guy that I kind of have. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I think he's the guy that on this, like, young core that the Lakers have right now, I think I have him third.
Okay.
Behind those two guys. And, like, it's not just for, like, he's a fun, you know, whatever, like, presence, player. Like, he's talented, and I think he's going to be good.
And he's young, so...
Yeah.
Like, but, I was thinking Nance, but he's, what, 4 years older than him, so.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a shame to see Nance or Randall leave. I think they're both good players, but eventually the Lakers are going to have to, like, get a roster that super fits together, and I don't know that we saw enough from that front court where we're like, that's a lock that those two guys are going to be able to play together a whole lot long term.
Yeah. Like, if there was a combination of two guys who I actually wouldn't be all that surprised to get moved, and I'm going to get in trouble with this because I've said some iteration of this before, but it's those two guys. Just the front court is so.
I think eventually we're going to see one of them move on, and with Randall up for an extension, like, the Lakers may have to start thinking about that soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could extend him and then trade him because that extension's going to be cheap in this new in this new cap system. So.
Yeah, I just mean it's something they're going to have to think about a lot more in a lot more immediate terms than they would be otherwise.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. All right, that does it for this episode. We're going to be back at it again to talk about what the Lakers talk about.
The Lakers marathon of exit interviews tomorrow. We are going to blog up a storm.
It's going
to
be.
So stay tuned to Silver Screen and Roll. Follow us on Twitter at LakersSBN. Like us on Facebook. Like, you're going to get a lot of hashtag content tomorrow.
A bunch of it. So and
for today, I guess.
I'll be there probably to do, you know, just to give my two cents on Facebook Live. To wrap up the season, we'll probably do a similar thing that we did today, where I do that for 10 minutes or so, and then Harrison and I shoot the crap for another.
Yeah, Anthony likes to have part of the show without me. But again, I don't feel threatened. There's a bank in every city. If he wants to trade me to, you know, like Locked On Magic or something, I can handle it.
Yeah, this is also what procrastination does. When you're obligated to do something, so. Anywho, we will talk to everybody again tomorrow, and then I do want to say while you know the season has just ended, thank you for those who have subscribed to the show, who have rated us, who have listened, who have commented,
who have supported our sponsors.
For those who, you know, have used the promo codes and all of those good things. We would not do this without you. We're getting to the point where we could not do this without you. So thank you everybody for that. Another, you know, this is the first season here with Locked On Lakers being a legitimate thing, and you know, here's to getting to talk about better basketball on a nightly basis, right?
Like, yeah, that, and we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be around throughout the off season, and we're still going to be around. We got one more show this week, and then we're going to probably go down to three to four shows a week for a little bit before the draft starts to kick in. But, you know, we really appreciate all of you guys for listening, everyone who's supported us, everyone who's tweeted at us, everyone who's messaged us on Facebook or emailed us or supported our sponsors or rated the show. All of it. We love you guys. We couldn't do it without you.
All right. We'll talk to everybody again tomorrow.